Welcome to today's Voices, a daily digest from Native America Calling. I'm your host, Sean Spruce. New Mexico is on the forefront of what advocates hope will be a more comprehensive discussion and accounting of the practice of forced sterilization of Native women. The state is launching an examination of the coercion, deception, or procedures performed without consent by the Indian Health Service and doctors who contracted with them. One such case is Jean Whitehorse. In 1972, she came to the hospital in Gallup, New Mexico for an appendicitis operation. Many years later, she learned she also had a tubal ligation, a surgery she had never asked for or agreed to.
Without being, told about what else they were going to do, they just did it when I was sedated. I didn't know what they did to me. But when I came out of that surgery, my scar should be on the right side of my, lower part. But my scar is below the belly, all the way down. That's the only proof that I carry. I never had children anymore. When my daughter was almost two, I wanted more children, but I was unable to conceive. That's when the doctor said you were referred to Gallup. Let me ask for your records. So I got another appointment. When I went back to my appointment, he explained to me, he said, did you know that you were sterilized? I said, no. What do you mean by that? And he told me that I had a tubal ligation, meaning I will never have no more children.
Whitehorse is Navajo. She says she didn't even share her story with her own family for decades because of the shame she felt. Now she is speaking out to let other women know that they are not alone. Whitehorse's story is one of many that Elena Giacci comes across. Giacci is a historical trauma trainer and anti-sexual violence advocate. She is Dene. She helped write the language that New Mexico lawmakers approved. She says she became aware of the issue more than 30 years ago and started building a way to address it. In that time, her preliminary research documented an array of methods that medical professionals used to keep Native women in the dark.
The fact that most of these forms were never explained, the fact that some of the forms that we looked at, we found pieces missing in that, but nowhere did we ever find that it said, okay, this is what's going to happen to you. And if it was, it was buried in all sorts of other medical information. So it was really deceiving on some of the things that were occurring to our women as they were getting other procedures done, because very few of them knew that this was happening to them.
Giacci says investigators face challenges of finding adequate information to support the testimony that women are now bringing to the surface. That's also the hurdle for Josette Monette. She is the cabinet secretary for the State of New Mexico Indian Affairs Department. She is from the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and says the most helpful information for the investigation may come from the stories of those who lived it.
Hearing those types of stories, I think, are going to be really helpful for us. I think we also want to give space to people to share those stories. We're hoping that we can build some different avenues where people can feel safe and comfortable to be able to share those stories with us. And whether or not all of the stories get shared publicly or not, those will be discussions, I'm sure, throughout time. But I think getting kind of the groundwork of those stories and hearing some of these, women's voices, just like Jean's, who are able to tell us about what they've experienced or what they've been hiding, and really, again, in hopes of ensuring that we can help prevent this from happening to Native women, but to really all women.
Monette says she and other officials are aware of the need for cultural sensitivity in order to document the experiences that Native women encountered. Another state has also made headway in addressing forced sterilization. Don Stevens is chief of the Nullhagen Band of the Cusick Abenaki Nation in Vermont. He says he has been part of an effort started more than a decade ago to facilitate a healing process in his state.
I'm saying it's a start, so they can acknowledge the fact that it happened. Then there's a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was created out of the apology. They were tasked to document stories, either public if you wanted it shared or anonymously, to record the stories of what happened, how it affected the families, because an apology is just an apology. It's just words unless they back it up.
New Mexico officials are expected to present their findings by the end of 2027. I'm Sean Spruce, and this is today's Voices.